God starts to speak to all our hearts and tells us kind of, you know, what's going to happen. And, you know, I'm just feeling this intense pressure to go back to that song of the Holy Spirit, the awesome presence of the power of the living God. Somebody here just really needs us to press in on that song today. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you just to come up to the altar. We start singing that song again and join these ladies and move right into the altar. Raise your hands and just believe the power of the living God is going to make a change. You know, that's a choice. Your pastor asks you to make a choice. You can stay there in your seat, or you can come forward. You can get around the altar. You allow the power of God to make a change, whatever that is. We're going to sing that again together as a body of believers. We're going to focus in and come into the altar and say, God, I make a choice to press in. Under your power of your Spirit, use me. Let's sing that together.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is
yeah.
Father, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord God, I pray today that we are overcome by your presence. I pray, Lord God, that you invade our very lives today. That you change us, Lord, from who we are today to who you want us to be. I pray, Lord God, that we don't get in your way. That there's a genuine choice in our hearts to move forward. To inhabit the Spirit in our lives. To let it dwell, let it change, let power resonate from within us. Lord God, let it be here today. Let it be our lives. Let it be the Calvary House, Lord God, I pray. Let people be willing hearts and servants for what you want to do. We give you our lives, our church, our families, Lord, everything about us, Lord God, they are yours. Now, Lord God, I pray that you use those and that we allow you to do so. Continue with the power today, Lord God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Welcome to the Calvary House today. Give somebody a big hug as you're going back to your seat. Welcome them in. Well, I think it's just a great day to be in church. I think it's a great day to be in church every Sunday morning and Wednesday night. I certainly want to continue to welcome you to come out to the church on Wednesday evenings for our Bible study and our family night. 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary, we have an adult Bible study. We're having a great time. We go through the Sunday morning service. We do a deep dive on Sunday morning service on Wednesday nights. We have girls' programs. We have the young men's programs and whatnot. We're believing for a youth pastor upcoming. I hope you're praying for that. Hey, don't forget to check in on your Facebook page and let people know that you're a Calvary Church today. We appreciate that. Also, if you're a visitor today, we certainly want to recognize you. We certainly will not embarrass you, but you're a visitor. We know you're a very important person. There's a card in the seat back in front of you. If you're in the front row, there's right behind you. You can grab one of those. We'd love to have you fill that card out and drop it in the offering as it goes by here in a few minutes. Just give us your name and some pertinent information so we can recognize that you're here today. And on the back, there's some things about, you know, if you'd like to serve at some point. If you're here and you want to serve in a ministry at our church, we certainly would love to talk to you about that. You can fill out one of these. Calvary Church folks, don't forget to continue to fill this out. I think most people have, so we can continue to update our database. Now, I'm going to make a quick announcement for Sunday school. I don't know if you know Al Peterson from over at Bethel Church. He's a good friend of mine. He's talking with me about potentially coming over and doing a study of how to study the Bible starting in March. I would love him to do that for us. I'd love to have him over for a season of 12 weeks study, and we would like to do that. So as you're looking at these cards, if you would do me a favor, if you have an interest in being involved in a study here at our church during our Sunday school time at 9:45 to 10:30 about how to study the Bible, Brother Al certainly knows how to do that. He can deep dive, and some of you I know have been in a class or two of his in the past. We'd like to invite him over. He spoke to me yesterday and said, I'd love to come over. I've talked to him about doing that. I would just like to know how many people are interested in getting into a Sunday school class at that hour and studying, you know, how do you study the Bible? Pastor, how do I do this? He has a phenomenal program of study of how to do that. I would like you to fill out your card here and just put on there somewhere, I would like to be involved in that class. So we can take a number. If there's enough people, I'm going to ask him to come over. He would like to do that. As we continue to build up our Sunday school program, I believe it's important that we teach people in the church, right? I think it's important we continue to do that. If you're feeling led to be a teacher here at the church, I would love to talk to you about that. We certainly need more teachers, as your bulletin talks about. So don't forget, fill out in your card and just say, hey, I'd like to be a part of that Bible study, how to study the Bible on your card. We'd love to know about that. Also, don't forget your Calvary invite cards. Continue to invite people to church. The power of the invite, church, is very important. We are called to invite people to experience what you're experiencing every morning on Sundays here at this church. we don't want to exclude anybody. So grab the packet of the cards as you're leaving in the basket on the sound booth back there. Take a packet of cards, just pass them around. It doesn't take much just to invite people. We do that all the time. Don't forget to do that. And I owe you an apology. I forgot to have in the bulletin last week about Mission Sunday. The first Sunday of each month is Mission Sunday, but I forgot to do that. So I had it put in there this week, so you'll see that. Don't forget your monthly missions faith promise pledge. You gave your word that you would commit to giving to the missions here at the church, and I certainly want to make sure I continue to give you that opportunity to be blessed, so don't forget about that. Also in your bullet, you'll see that the Senior Saints Ministry here at church are going to have a dinner at Denny's Restaurant on Tuscarora Avenue West. It's 6:30. I think the bulletin says 6 o'clock. You can come at 6 o'clock and fellowship for a half an hour, but the actual program and whatnot, the meal, is going to go forward at 6:30. So just a little typo there. So make a note of that. It's 6:30 and not 6 o'clock, okay? Also, we'll be doing a baptismal service here upcoming. If you want to be baptized here at Calvary Church, and I know a number of you have mentioned to me that you would like to go through the baptismal, we would love to do that. We're going to do that here upcoming. But I need to get a count. I know you've spoken to your pastor. I want to get involved. I want to be baptized. I have kind of a mental note and a physical note, but I certainly would like to hear from you through the church office so we can start putting that list together. Do me a favor. Call the church office or email the church office. It's on the bulletin there. And say, hey, I want to be part of the baptismal service upcoming. I want to continue to make a public announcement that we would like to hear from you, so we'll get you on that list. There will be a short class that we'll ask you to go through, maybe on a Sunday morning for a Sunday morning type of thing, and we'll go through that. But we're going to put that list together, so call the church office or give us an email so we can get a record that you are going to be baptized. And how we're going to do that is most likely, I thought about using the baptismal back here, but our baptismal has a little some issues with it, so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a portable baptismal up on the pulpit area here, or maybe down right here, and, you know, we have those. The churches have portable baptismals, and I think we'll get a baptize right here, most likely on a Sunday morning, so if that's what God's leading you to do, please let us know that, okay? Tonight is our annual church meeting. This is not just a financial meeting. Someone said this morning it's about finances. Well, it is. We report to you the financial health of the church, but it's much bigger and deeper than that. We go over a lot of things. You get reports from each ministry. You get a report from me. We have open discussion. I'm not sure how you've done it here in the past, but this is my first official annual business meeting, and I certainly would like to have you out. Now, members are welcome to vote. You'll be voting on two new board members in your bulletin, Ken Harsh and Tim Totten. Have graciously accepted the nomination to be petitioned out to the body of believers here, the membership, to be voted on. You have that opportunity tonight to do that, 6 o'clock. If you are not a member, please feel welcome to come out. Now, I know it's bringing out to the house an extra evening this week, but it's so critically important that you support your church. I'm asking you as your pastor to come out and support an hour, maybe, a few minutes over, a few minutes under. It won't take long. But if you're a member, you're signed in the back. You'll have a seat. We'll go through a short devotional that I will lead, and we'll jump right into the meeting. So members, you'll get to vote. We'll be also voting on a change to our bylaws that we need the membership to agree to. It's nothing major, I assure you. You'll find out tonight. It's no big deal. I doubt there'll be an issue with that at all. But we enacted new bylaws here almost a year ago. And those are kind of the cookie-cutter ones that all the Assemblies of God churches start with. But you, as we go through, we need to make some modifications to that to help us here locally. And we'll talk about that tonight. Not much to it. I think that's about all the announcements that I can think of. Hopefully I got them all. Our ushers are going to prepare to take our morning tithes and offerings. I just want to continue to say thank you. You have been so faithful to the house here at Calvary. You'll see tonight as we talk just briefly about finances of how the church is moving forward and some other things about talking about maybe potentially relocating our services next door to the big building and some of the ministries that we're moving into. So please come tonight and support the church. So gentlemen, if you would come forward, we will give our people here at Calvary the opportunity to be blessed. Because Scripture commands us to give our tithes and offerings, and I certainly don't want to rob you of that opportunity, the Bible says. So, Father, Lord, we thank you that you brought us into the house today, Lord. We thank you that your Spirit, that awesome presence of your Spirit was here today, continues to remain with us. Lord God, as we go through this blessing of giving to the house, Lord, we thank you for that. We honor you for that, Lord. And we bless the kingdom here in Jesus' name. Amen. Offering goes by, I just wanted to make a quick final announcement. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of into coffee. And I see some of the, my daughter brings coffee to church every Sunday, and it's like, you know, a half a gallon. So it almost is, you know. You know, here shortly, you know, as we move through 2019, I just am so, I would love to have a coffee cafe here. We're going to call that, yes. Oh, look at that. Yeah. See? And Amber told me she's going to lead it. So first one to clap is the one that gets the ministry, right? There won't be much left. You know, we've got some people in the church. If you're feeling led to get involved in that ministry, you know, by all means, let us know. Because I just would love to have, and we're going to have, what we call Calvary Cafe here. And we're going to do that as we, you know, talk about that. We'll talk about things like that tonight. But I just would love to do that. It's just what a lot of churches do it. It'd be great. My daughter, who is into foo-foo coffees, who's worked at Dunkin' Donuts for many years, has agreed to handle the foo-foo side, I call it, you know, the espresso, some of the stuff that we may not know how to do. And she said she'll help us with that because she's just excited to get into the espresso machines again. She worked at Dunkin' for, what, 7 years, 6 years? 7 years. Oh, my goodness. And she's just painfully sorry she's left that and moved on to bigger and better things. We hear about all the time, so she's real excited. So continue to pray about that, all right? Hey, it's your choice if you do it, right? It's just a choice you make. And this morning, God's just really laid on my heart. You know, we just came through this three-week series called Hardcore Straight Edge. I hope you enjoyed that series. I had quite a bit of feedback, not only here at the church, but out in the community, because there's a sign out front that says Hardcore Straight Edge Sermon Series, and that kind of got a lot of attention, and people would talk to me about that. But we're going to move into a time of talking about choice. No, Pastor, choices, yeah. I just think it's important. God's laid on my heart to move into a season of talking about it's your choice. You know, it's such a powerful thing. And how many times have you heard that said to you? Or parents, how many times have you said that to your kids? Oh, it's your choice, right? Kids, you are dismissed for Calvary's Kids. I'm so sorry. My kids are heading out. But how many times have you heard that? It is your choice. I think I wish I had a nickel for every time I said that to our children. It's your choice. You know, when they're younger, you know, you kind of tell them what the choices are. But when they get older, you kind of, you know, you can't make their decisions for them, can you? So you give that phrase. Well, here's what I think. Here's what Dad thinks. Not that they care, but they, you know, it's your choice. It is your choice. And each time we go into a new year, like into 2019, people start doing this awesome thing. They start reflecting on their choices. And we're a month or so into the new year, and I'm hearing that. People are talking to me about, Pastor, what's your thoughts here? And I made these choices. And, you know, they start doing this reflection. And a lot of them do that, you know, going to the gym, and they make these with resolutions, and those are choices. And some of those stick, and some of them don't. And, you know, but it's this time of reflection, and it's reflection of these resolutions, to make new choices, to do better, to make better choices. But, you know, a lot of times we just kind of fall back into the same old mode of the choices that we made in the past. And I'm going to challenge you as I go through this series to make different choices in 2019. I just would ask you as your pastor in 2019 to make church a priority. See, God does stuff in church that he will not do or does not do someplace else. He chooses and selects the temple, the house of God, the Calvary house, and others to do something special. And I don't want you to miss that. If you have not noticed, God is doing something unique and special already. We have prayed and we have believed and we have just gone to heaven and said, God, we need things here at the church, and God continues to move and deliver. Tell me 6 months ago, you would have thought we would have the awesome worship band that we have now. Come on. Those musicians are gifted and called. They have made a choice to give of their talents and their callings in the Calvary house to advance the ministry. That's a choice. I'm asking you, as we move into 2019 further, to continue to make those choices, to be consistent in your attendance, to be consistent in your giving, be consistent at church, to reach people and go out and pass out cards and make it a priority in your life. And watch what God does as far as things that he will do for you if you are walking in those types of choices. Now, there's other choices that we have in life, right? We have financial choices and things we do and everyday choices, I kind of call those. And they're not necessarily tied to the church or our Christian walk, but they're just everyday choices. But they still could be good choices, but they could be not so good choices, right? And we have to have this faith that we're making the right choice. But let's face it, we just mess up. I don't know about you, but my wife knows all my messes up. Not good English, but really good preaching. She knows. And she says to me sometimes, it's not such a good choice. You really want to make that choice? You know, your spouse could be your sounding board. Honey, what do you think about this choice? What do you think about the church and this and that? And, you know, and if you know my wife, she's quite vocal with her opinion. Which is great, right? We come together as a married couple, and we believe that we can support one another, should support one another, help us with those choices. And I just believe that, you know, God blesses us both with the same purpose and the same direction, especially when it comes to church. But those are choices we make, right? God gave you that choice. God gave you this gift called choice. And sometimes I wonder if we really understand how powerful that is. Why? Because we have choices every day and decisions. We walk in that, and do we really realize what that is doing to affect our spiritual life? Do we really understand how it affects our personal life, our business life, our jobs, anything? Right? There is just this gift that God gave us, and the ultimate decision was to follow Christ, right? Choice. But we have that same power to make those choices in everything we do. You will make a choice today when you walk out of here. You made a choice to come into this church. Everything's choice. Your life is defined by the choices that you make. Right? Here's a choice. I saw a commercial the other day. I said this on Wednesday night. This has just rattled me. This is a choice. And the choice was, they had this commercial out. I don't know what the movie is. I don't care. But the theme of this was just a choice that somebody made. And I can't believe they make that choice. It says, you know, the theme was, it was a terrible movie. I just remember that. Advertised on TV, and it said, it's a terrible movie. I'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. Have you seen that terrible commercial? I heard nothing else but that phrase, choice. Somebody made a terrible, in my estimation, my opinion, someone's making a bad choice. Really bad. And it's my responsibility to get to them. Just like I had the choice yesterday when somebody knocked at the door, and I'm, you know, sitting there, and I just wrapped up some of my sermon prep and final, and it's Saturday afternoon, and someone knocks at the door. And I thought, well, that's odd. They usually ring the doorbell. But they just knocked. So I thought, okay, well, I'll get up. I thought, well, maybe it's a delivery. But now they usually ring and run. That's what I call it. You know, they ring and they run. They just drop it there and take off. But I go, and then I opened up the door, and there in front of me, and I knew exactly who they were, a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses. You know. And, you know, they start giving me their spiel. Now, I don't know about you, but it doesn't bother me when people come to the door like that. Why? Because I have the opportunity to preach the gospel. And my wife is listening, and she said to some friends last night, I hear Brad at the front door with some Jehovah's Witnesses going back and forth on scripture. You know, the fighter's on. You know, it's no fight. It was wonderful because I had a few short minutes to speak life. And I did. It's a choice. Now, I will tell you this. When I was much younger and not near as far along in my faith and my walk, you know, when they would come to the door when I was like under 18 and just, you know, I would kind of get irritated they come to the door. I don't want to hear from them, especially what they had to say. Now, I'm completely different. I see it as the opportunity that, and I just think, God sent me this test. And I said to them, I said, well, you know, they were asking me if I know the scriptures. And I said, well, listen here. I said, you're talking to a Pentecostal pastor. And the color just drains from their face. And I said, I got them right where I want them. Right. But I loved on them. Because I have something that they think they have, and I don't know if they really do. But I just flat out asked them, I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And they said, we do. So they came to question me, and I start questioning them. I just believe God gave me the opportunity to speak life to somebody that knocked on my door, and he tested me to see if I was going to speak life and make the choice to speak life to them. I hope that I passed the test. I hope. They gave me about 5 minutes or so, and then it was time. They wanted to go on to the next house because they weren't going to get real far with the Pentecostal pastor. But we had 5 minutes or so, maybe seven. And those were good 5 to 7 minutes. The summation of the choices that you make, see, make up your life. You are defined by that. That's who you are. But what is choice? What is choice? I saw that choice as an opportunity. That's exactly what choice means. It's an opportunity. We don't see those choices like that sometimes. Years ago, I didn't see people coming to my door like that as a good choice. That's my choice, an opportunity. I didn't see it like that. Today I do. As soon as I went around Nicole's chair, that's 3 feet from our television set. No, I'm just eating about 6 feet, right? Right behind mine. And I saw them standing there. I said, opportunity. And it was just not a coincidence that it was right after I shut my laptop. It just wasn't. That I shut my laptop and I had some thoughts together and the knock and I saw there's an opportunity. That's what choice is, opportunity. It is an opportunity. We don't see it like that. There's this Bible theme that resonates throughout the Word that I'm going to get into today. And I'm going to talk about it because Paul references it and many other authors, writers reference it. And it's called this one thing. This one thing, this one choice that I make is a life-changing opportunity. And I want to talk to you about that today. We're going to go to Philippians 3, 13 through 17. There's a lot of scripture today, so I hope that you'll be able to see it on the screen. If not, hopefully you have a Bible with you, a device of some sort, an iPad, iPhone, whatever you use, to go to Philippians 3, 13. And I will read. It says, brothers and sisters, Paul writing, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I don't grasp everything. However, one thing I do, forget what is behind, I strain toward what is ahead. Now, don't think I'm talking about the church here because it's much bigger than that as far as the local Calvary House. I'm thinking about, we're talking your life. I press on towards the goal to win that prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. 15 says, all of us then who are mature, see, Paul referenced the maturity of the believer, should take such a view of these things. Because he knows that maybe the immature believer won't. When I was an immature believer, I probably didn't like the door. And dealing with people that came to the door that spoke like that, today I'm not. I'm a mature believer, and I look at it completely different choice. Right? Paul's writing about that. And if on some point you think differently than that, then God will make it clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. This is the most powerful. This is just great. Join together following my example, his example. He's leading the way. Brothers and sisters, I just as you have as a model, keep your eyes and those who live as we do. Let us focus on what is going on. Boy, there's a lot there. But he references this thing called one thing. And I started to see this theme throughout the word of this one thing. And Paul isolates it. He talks about all this other stuff, and he comes right to the chase. And he says, but this one thing I want to talk to you about. See, Paul's using this analogy of a race. If you haven't noticed, he uses the analogy of a race. Hey, don't look behind. You're in a race. Don't look back this way because you're going to slow down. Focus this way and see the prize. And then he references the prize. And I'm going to talk to you about that choice. He says right away, he says, make this choice to forget what's behind and strain towards what's ahead. This is something he specifically mentions in his analogy of the race. What power is there? Because when we're moving in something, whether it's job, church, anything, we have this human natural thing to look behind and say, wow, I remember when. And Paul says, wait a second. I want to give you something really big here. And I have a tendency, and I was studying and working on this, and I thought, wow, that's kind of me sometimes. I say to myself, I remember when. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that's just fine to say, I remember this. And that's not bad. But what Paul is saying is, don't live there because you'll miss the step to go forward to the prize. And I thought, wow, I get it. I got it before, but I'm getting it even more. Listen to what he says. He says, here's a choice for you. Press onward to the goal to win the prize. That means I have to do something. I have to make a choice that Paul says, you've got to go forward to reach the prize. Well, wait, well, what's the prize? The prize is Christ Jesus. And it really got to me because if I hang out back here, looking this way, I don't see Christ Jesus this way. I live here saying, I remember when this was like this and we did it this way, it worked this way, my life was this. I remember when God had me in this place in my job, and I remember when all this, instead of looking forward and allowing the power of heaven as you look towards Christ Jesus, the perfecter and author and perfecter of your faith, to say, I'm going to make something new for you. I don't want you to live there. I don't want anyone to live here when God has so much more here. But we as humans have this tendency to do that. But then he gets right to the chase. He goes right and he says, now listen, if you're mature, you'll take the view of this. Okay? That spoke to me that, okay, if you're kind of shallow in your faith, if you're new, if you're rough, then that means you're going to struggle with this. I remember when, Pastor, we would do this. I remember when we lived here. I remember all these things. And again, it's okay to say those kind of things, but then don't lose the opportunity for the one big thing that Paul writes about. There's a differentiation between going forward and seeing Christ Jesus and being behind, being lost in what used to be. That's what it says. And then at one point he says, I think differently. Because if you're thinking different, it's not like this. He said, no, it is like that. God will change your mind. He'll just change you. God will speak to you. He'll let you know. And then he says, but at least live in the moment that you have already attained. See, I've told you many times that God is a God of process. He takes us from where we are to where he wants us to be, and there's some things that we got to do along the way. But that's progression. That's moving forward. And I'm just talking to life, right? Now, what would happen if you had the opportunity, if God spoke to you and said, listen, I'm going to give you one decision, one choice in your life to make some differences in your past. You keep looking back there. Let's talk about it. And God comes to you and says, listen, Pastor Brad, I'm going to give you, you're doing this back thing. I'm going to give you this awesome opportunity. I am the creator of the heavens and the earth, and I'm going to give you this opportunity to make a change in something in the past. Well, you know you can't do that. Well, God can do anything he wants. And he says, I'm going to give you this opportunity to make a change. Pick something, but one choice. Never to get sick. Never to lose a job. Never to have a bad relationship. Never to have poor finance. Whatever it is, but one thing, just pick it. What would I pick? What would you pick? God's not doing that today, church. He's not going to do that. Is there anything that God's going to give us that we could change what has already happened in time? No. Then why do we spend so much time doing that? I just don't know. And here's a saying for you. I was really blessed this morning when one of our worship team members told me that they took one of the sayings I had last week in scripture or in the service, and he's got it on his wall behind his desk at work. That spoke to me. Here's one for you, and I've said this one before. Here's how I live. I try to. Not always have, but I try to live by this. Let your past be your past. You've heard me say this before. But let your present today dictate what happens tomorrow. Let your past be your past. Let your present dictate what happens tomorrow. My wife and I work hard on trying to do that because we've had some rough pasts, and I don't want to live there anymore. I have this saying, I don't live there anymore. Paul told me in the scripture, you can't get the prize of Christ Jesus if you keep living there. That's what it says. So I tell myself, I'm not going to live there anymore. I'm just not going to it's just not what I'm going to. I'm not talking memories. I'm talking about just hunkering down and living back where it used to be. When the Bible says, I got a better thing for you. I got a bigger choice for you, right? It is that race. It is that moving forward. Paul said you can't propel forward when you're remembering the past because that is a race. So I want to talk here for a few minutes about these one things and how they relate to our personal lives. I love the practical application of the word to my life. I want to know how that applies to me today. I love the Bible study. I love diving into the word. I love the end time study, especially. I just really intrigues me, the things God is going to do. Because I read about in the word what he's done and how it affects my life, right? He told me how it molds me to move forward. But I like to see what's going to happen. I love the study of Revelation, but I want to know how this one thing of continuing what Paul said and moving forward and getting the prize at the end, how that changes my life and maybe my habits. Habits. Straight habits in my life. I've got these habits. Now, I've got some bad ones. Like I said, my wife knows my bad habits. Pretty much all of them. Thank God she tells me what those are. Right? Research says it takes 21 days to stop a bad habit. It takes another 21 days to transition to a good habit. And another 21 days of living in the good habit to make it a behavior change. That's 63 days. 63 days of choices for me to be a better me, of moving forward. Can I invest 63 days to change my bad habits? See, you hear this thing on the beginning of each year of these resolutions. I got to get to the gym. If you get to the gym for 30 days, it becomes a habit. Not necessarily. Why? Most people, 98% of them, don't go back when we get into February. Because it's really 63 days. And you have to make a choice to make a transition from the bad habit to this new habit, stay the new habit, transition into becoming behavior change. Boom, 63 days later, you've got some changes in your habit. The problem with that is 70% of the people don't like change. Wow. Paul's writing about this. There's a choice that we have to make. we have to make a choice to change a habit, whatever it is, from bad to good and move forward on that. And then we have to make the choice to change. When studies say 70% of people don't like to do change at all, my wife is one of the 70%. And 70% of you are. I am not part of the 70%. Hallelujah. Someone say that. There's got to be 30% of you here. They said, praise God, Pastor, I don't mind change either. And that's why they tell us in pastor school, be careful when you're making changes in your church because 70% of them don't like it. I don't necessarily believe that because that's a study that the world gives you. I believe that the church functions under a different power. I believe that we function under a different calling, a different power, just like Paul wrote about. That's how I believe. Just because the world says there's studies that people's personalities don't like to move forward and change 70% of the time, I believe that God moves and people follow. That's what I believe. And that's the prize. That's the prize. Relationships. Just this one thing. I'd like to change my relationship. What can you do today, church, to do one thing to change your relationship? What's one thing you can do to change your financial picture in your life? What's one thing that you could go to God for? Say, God, if you just give me this one, and don't say win the lottery. And don't say it to me. God's not going to do that. I don't believe. God will never bless you with something that the Word says is not right. We don't use money. That's just a personal thing. My health, one thing. What could you do for one thing to change your health? What is the one thing I could do to make me healthier? Whatever that is. I don't know. I know many of your health situations. You know some of mine. Not taking medicine is not going to help you, right? Dreams. What is one thing you could do that would give you the bigger dream, the aspiration, the inspiration, pardon me, to move forward, to the finish the race, to give you that? I used to dream big dreams and visions, and God gave me that. And what is one thing you could do to put that in, to bring that to fruition? Just a couple practical things. Let's go to Isaiah 43:18. He spoke the same thing that Paul spoke in 43:18-24. I think my media guys got it there, but I'm only going to read 18. But he's going to have a lot more. I'm just going to read 18. It says, forget the former thing. See, he gets us on this thing. Forget it. The past is your past. Don't dwell on the past. It is over. See, I'm doing something new. I love this scripture. Because if we would just recognize that God's doing something new in our personal lives, in our jobs, even though you don't see it yet, God still is in control. If he's in control of your life, he is in control of your situations. He is. You may not see that yet, but you have to make the choice to do exactly what the scripture says. You've got to make the choice to say, I don't live there anymore. And when you stop living there, wherever there is, in any scenario, and you make that conscious choice, that one thing, to move forward for the prize of Christ Jesus, and you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus at the end, something happens. A new thing appears. I had a door shut just the other day on a situation I was going to be involved in the ministry that I really thought was worth being involved with. You know, they asked me to get involved, and it just didn't come to fruition, and I was kind of down for like maybe 5 minutes. Right? 5-10 minutes, maybe. Not much. I thought, okay, that's okay. God, you've got something bigger and better. Why? The Bible says, I'm going to do you a new thing. Now it springs up. That means something happens. It comes and shows up. Don't you see it? That means, don't you perceive it? That means Isaiah is saying, it's there. Focus and look. But we're back here, living. And we don't see this new thing. Because we don't ever put our eyes on it. And he set the stage to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. Do this one thing, David said. Just do this one thing. What is that one thing? Seek the prize of Christ Jesus above everything else. Right? Let's jump to Luke 10, 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Watch what happens in the story that many of us know. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha, Mary and Martha, right? Hyper Martha, opened up her home to him. She had a sister, her name was Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and just listened to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, how many times have you heard that in your house? Mom, Dad, tell them to help me. And Christ says, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only this one thing. Mary had chosen what is better, and that's not going to be taken away from her." What was the choice? To sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Forward thinking, Christ as the prize. All the preparations to do, all the things that Martha had to go about, do all these things, and she was angry, but there Mary sat doing the best thing. Martha was doing a good thing, but Jesus said, all those other things are good, but here's the best thing. And right there, it's Christ himself says, this one thing I want you to do. See, here on earth, we get so distracted with everything that we lose sight of the big thing. And the big thing focus is what makes everything flow for everything. That's how it works. Happens in churches all the time. We get so focused on doing the work of the house and the worship and the ministry and doing everything, we start to lose track of the bigger prize. And then we wonder in our churches why we're having some struggles. Because we're so busy with the distractions, the hyper Martha stuff, we're forgetting to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he has to say. Now, church, that is a choice. That is a choice that we make. And Jesus himself says, I give you this one thing. And what was that one thing? The prize. He was the one thing. And you go, I had scripture after scripture after scripture, and I thought, I got to cut this down. I can't. One thing. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, you find scriptures that say this one thing. And it all focuses on the decision to live your life on the prize instead of all everything else that surrounds us. We get lost in that stuff. Right? I'm going to give you 3 points to ponder. I want you to think about this. It's your choice to make the most of your future. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Listen, it reads, be very careful then how you live. Not as the unwise, but the wise. Making the most of every opportunity. What is the translation of opportunity? Choice. Because the days are evil. Now, church, how many would attest that the days today are evil? They're not good. And the scripture says, be very careful then how you live, not as the unwise, but make the most of every opportunity. That means the opportunity does show up. God gives you the opportunity to make the choice to walk forward. It will happen. If we thought about every time we made a decision, that decision, as opposed to just making the choice and moving forward, I think the outcome would be very different. I am probably guilty more than most. Because I have a tendency just to 100 mile an hour. Let's go. right? 100 mile hours, go. In the Greek, the word opportunity translates to also to time. And you do a little study there, you find out it means a window of time. So here is this choice, here is this opportunity that God blesses us with, that we have to make a choice about our future, and it's all built on time. God will give you a season of time to walk in that. But let me tell you something, church. If you don't walk in and make the choices and execute and look for the prize and move forward, God will take that time and say, I'll give it someplace else because you're living back here. But I want you to live here. And the opportunity just kind of fades, and you wonder why, what happened? I had this situation. I just got to ask myself, maybe we got so distracted at everything else that we lost the one thing ahead of us. It's your choice to get rid of all the distractions. It's your choice. You know, Jesus shows up at your house. He knocks on the door. And he says, I want you to invite me in. Where do you want to be when Jesus walks into your home? Do you want to be busy in the kitchen, making everything because you have a very important guest? Or do you just want to dive at the feet of Jesus and listen? That's a choice. It's just a choice, right? We got to get rid of those distractions. The scripture talks about Martha having been distracted from the very reason Jesus showed up in the first place. She wanted to prepare and really bless him with everything. She knew who he was, but Mary really did too. And she said, I don't want to be in the kitchen. I'm going to be right here listening because he's got something to say. They didn't want to be distracted. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that can easily entangle us. Church, I'm going to tell you something. When you're looking forward to the prize at the end, and it's Christ Jesus, you're going to have all this stuff show up to get you entangled and distracted. Something's going to happen. Oh, pastor, I got to go do this, and I got to do that. And, you know, and we've got to stay focused because I assure you, when God starts to move in your home or the Calvary house and God's got some plans and we're moving forward and things are happening and God's just got a plan and we're walking in that plan, the distractions show up. And they show up and the entanglements show up because we can get lost in all that stuff and lose the one thing that God wants us to have. And that's the prize. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And let us run. Let us run forward and not backwards. You cannot run too fast backwards. As you know, I play baseball when I have one of these drills that I do, and I run backwards to warm up. Great hamstring loosening to run backwards. And, you know, I can't run forward that fast because I'm just old. But for some reason, I can run really fast backwards, but when I turn and run forward, I get someplace. But I get nowhere, and I can't see where I'm going when I'm running back. It's amazing. What a life concept of lessons. I get nowhere running backwards fast, but I get somewhere running forward slowly. Number three, it's your choice to prioritize the presence of Christ in your life. What a choice. It is your choice to prioritize the presence of Christ in your life. Philippians 3, 7 through 8 says, whatever were gains or your choices to me, I now consider losses for the sake of Christ. What profits a man to gain the world but lose his own soul? It's not in that scripture, but that's what the word says, right? What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Nothing is as important as the one thing at the end of the race. Everything else falls under that. It is the whole reason we exist as believers. Now, I'm going to bring this in for a landing. I'm going to ask our musicians to come up to the platform, and I'm going to tell your story. You've read the story in the Word a million times. You just may have not listened to it like this. What choice? In Joshua, you know Joshua. I love Joshua. I love reading about him. They all have something to say. He speaks to my heart because of what he went through in the past that he, but he was always forward thinking. And you get into Joshua 24, and he tells a story. You know, if you do the work, it looks like there's like 2 million people he's telling the story to. I only have 75. I don't know what would happen if God gave me 2 million. That would be one big thing. But I'll take the 75 because the story is just as important. It is life-changing. So he's got 2 million people he's got to tell the story to. How many times did he have to tell the story before he had 2 million people? There's no microphone. But he tells a story. He tells a story of everything they've been through. He's talking to the people, right? He's led them through a lot. You know the story? Out in the desert for 40 years, across the river, into the promised land. They settled there, and they started to live. Tribes were broken up, the Bible says. The 12 tribes. And people started to move forward in choice. In Joshua 24, he makes this declaration that you read on the doors of homes and bumper stickers. And here is it. He's got all these people. And he makes this declaration to all of them. He says, "Whom are you going to serve?" The Bible says. Who are you going to serve? We've been through all this. We're moving through the race. Christ Jesus is ahead. Of course, it's the Old Testament, we understand, but they were moving forward. And he makes a declaration. Who are you going to serve? Whom are you going to serve? It was choice. 2 million people or so had to make a decision. Here's the decision. Do I stay where I'm at and do nothing? Do I move forward and do something? Do I whine and complain about it and talk to somebody else? Whatever. But time and time, Joshua would come back. Whom are you going to serve? Are we serving heaven and God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, or something else? You know the story. As the people move forward and life move forward, some served and some didn't. And you know a lot of the stories, and they had kings and all these things happened, and bad things, bad choices, and good things, good choices, and it went up and down and all, you know, through history, right? All those things happened. All because somebody stood up there and said, "You got to make a choice. You've got to stand up and be counted and make a choice." Now, Joshua had reached 110 years old, roughly. He knew he was going to meet his maker here very shortly. And he says, "Who are you going to serve?" That's what I'm asking you today. This one big thing. Who are you going to serve? I have been talking for the time I've got to this church as the pastor about the purpose of life, the mission of God to seek and save the lost. But there's a second portion to that that I really haven't preached and talked about until today. And the second part of that is, if you're called, as we know we are, to seek and save the lost, but Joshua stands before 2 million people and says, "But whom are you going to serve?" I choose the one big thing from which all power flows. My choice is to serve God first. My one thing is to serve God first. Not behind me, not sideways, forward thinking, believing, knowing that God's got something new for me if I don't live back there. And I don't get distracted, and I stay focused to win the prize. One thing he's asked me for in the scripture, that everything else in my personal life as a believer flows from that one big thing. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ, and everything else takes care of itself. Church, your pastor wants to go higher, higher in his personal life. I am committed to that. I am committed to going higher and higher with Jesus in the church and leading the church. There is no other place I want to go. There's nothing else I want to do. I just want to go higher and higher. I want to move forward to get the prize of the biggest thing in the history of the universe. Because nothing else matters. And Joshua said that to the 2 million plus people. Whom are you going to serve? What decision, church, do you make today? Where are you going to go from this day forward on February 10th, 2019? When you leave here, whom are you going to serve? And I'm challenging you not to stay exactly where you're at. I'm challenging you to go bigger and higher and move forward quicker. Do whatever you got to do. Because everything in your life flows from getting closer to Jesus. That's why Mary wanted to be at his feet. She knew all power flowed right there. That's why the Bible talks about the altar of the church. Things happen at the altar of the church that won't happen in your seat. You make a choice to move out of your seat and come to an altar and say, I want that change. And I'm going to give you that opportunity. As soon as this worship team starts singing higher, higher, I'm going to give you that opportunity to get out of your seat, come up to the altar, and say, I want that one thing bigger than ever. And I don't want anything getting in my way. Church, are you ready? Let's sing this together.
Voices unite, make it louder, louder. Never gonna stop singing.
Give him praise today, church.
Give him praise.
I just want to do this one big thing. I just want to reach higher and higher, closer and closer. We're going to continue to sing. You're formally dismissed, but I tell you what, that song says we're going to go higher and higher, and we're never going to stop singing. I'm staying to sing until God tells me, the pastor, to leave. You do what you want, but let's just continue to praise him. You're formally dismissed. Let's just believe. In Jesus' name, Father God, I ask for your touch upon us to go higher and higher, Lord. God, give us the one thing closer and closer, Lord. Lord, I want to be at the feet of Jesus, hearing and gleaning and learning, Lord. Give me higher today. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Let's go together.
You come.